When you think about your own life, I would say you agree with me that you see why people define life as like an elevator, ups and downs, ups and downs. That's what life is. Literally, like Lecrae would define it, life is like an elevator, a lot of ups and downs, people pushing your buttons and getting jerked around. Remember, you wonder, I mean, when we think about our own lives, we see why life can be like a box of chocolate. You never know what you're going to get. And if I were to quote Rocky Balboa, he said, "The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows." You know, many of us can relate to that. You know, he would beat you to your core, he said, you know, in that one of the famous quotes. I love that movie when he's talking to his son about that. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You see, when I think about how people, you know, the definition, how they define life, I go back to one of the greatest, one of the old prophets and king, the one who wrote Ecclesiastes, because he talks about that. He says that there's a season, there's a time for everything under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. Time to plant, time to uproot what is planted. Time to laugh, time to mourn. And you and I, we all can agree with that because our lives, we have joys and sorrows. We have success, we have failures. I mean, that's what life is. But this morning, I'd like to talk to you about one of the greatest ambassadors of the Christian faith. You know, I think he's a great example of what it means to persevere when you go through the lowest in your life. What it means to run with determination the race that is marked out for you. And when I look at his life and how he dealt with struggles, how he dealt with disappointment, I mean, to me, I consider him a role model. Like, you know, I study him and I learn. It's like, wow, you know, like when I go through those moments, I wanna take his approach, how he dealt with that. Because we all gonna go through trials and tribulations. You know, just because you are born on earth, it ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You know, we all gonna. And so, but how do we deal with that? That's the thing. So I look how the Apostle Paul, and that's what I want to introduce you this morning. I mean, you heard a lot about him. By the way, he wrote most of the New Testament that we have. Most of the books of the New Testament were written by him. Many of those books were written when he was in prison. So, like I said, he's a great example of what it means to be a champion of the faith. Somebody, he always talks, he's the one that uses the analogy of the race. You're running with determination, with endurance. So I want to invite you to open your Bibles in 2 Timothy. By the way, the last letter that he wrote, 2 Timothy, the last chapter, and he's writing the letter, according to a scholar, around 67, 68 AD. He's already in prison in Rome. And he wasn't going to, if they got him out of the prison, they were just going to kill him. So he already knew that. So he's already in prison. He's writing to his young protege, or like he calls his son in the faith, Timothy. You know, from a prison cell, the Apostle Paul. So picture, go with me to that scene right there. He's writing to, he's already aged, writing to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 18. Listen to his words. You know, most of his letters, he's always greeting the people that came into his life. And he said, 2 Timothy 4, 9, writing to Timothy, "Do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love with his present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he's very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas. Also the books, and above all, the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith, or metal worker, did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through the message, so that through my message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So picture the Apostle Paul in prison, and he's writing to Timothy. Timothy is a preacher in a town called Ephesus. So Ephesus is going to be kind of like, if you were to look Italy from Ephesus, Ephesus is going to be kind of like east, southeast of Italy and Rome. And so Paul is writing to him and says, do your best to come to me. You know, and as he's in prison, people can go in and out and just visit him. You know, do your best to come to me. And then he says, for Demas has deserted me. Now, you see, there's six things that I want to share with you from this text that I learned from the life of the Apostle Paul, and perhaps you and I can relate to that. Just looking at his final words to Timothy. You know, like, by the way, this is the last letter he wrote, about 68 AD. He didn't write anymore because they killed him. They decapitated the Apostle Paul. But he said, do your best to come to me, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me. Now, the first lesson that I learned about the Apostle Paul is that there will always be people who disappoint you. There will always be people who disappoint you. In his case, he's writing about Demas. Now, you might not know about Demas. I mean, there's no book about, you know, but he's in the Bible. And he used to be a ministry companion of Paul. You can read about him in Colossians 4:14. When Paul wrote the letter to the Colossians, he said, our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. So when he wrote Colossians, Demas was around and he was working with Paul. Also, when he wrote the book of Philemon, around 61 AD, Demas was still with Paul. Remember, by 68, Paul says, Demas deserted me. But by 61 AD, when Paul is writing Philemon, he said, our dear friend Epaphras, my fellow worker or prisoner of Christ Jesus, sends greeting to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke. Look what he says, my fellow workers. So that's by 61 AD. So by 67, 68, when Paul is in prison, he said to Timothy, hey, do your best to come to me. Picture the Apostle Paul, probably. I mean, you're there in isolation, you've been lonely, and so you need the companionship of the people. And so you're writing to Timothy because it's not too far away compared to everybody else. Do your best to come to me, for Demas has deserted me. He has abandoned me. Why? Why did Demas do that? According to Paul, he loved the world more than the gospel, or more than the ministry that he was engaged in. So you see, there will always be people who disappoint you. Demas had deserted Paul when he needed him the most in prison. You see, that's why you see Paul requesting Timothy, do your best to come to me quickly. You and I, in our own walk, in our own ministry, whatever it is in life, you and I need to understand that. And you know, yes, it's going to be painful and hurtful, but people will disappoint you. We might be the disappointing for some people. Because, you know, people lay expectations, and when you don't meet those expectations, they be disappointed at you. But, you know, in this case, Demas and Paul, it wasn't all the expectation. It was that he literally left them. I mean, they were working together. Imagine like you're married and you get up one morning and the husband just left you for no reason. It's like, or you get fired from a job. I mean, something is like he just left the work. And Paul needed him, especially when he's writing to Timothy from a prison cell, do your best to come to me because Demas deserted me because he loved the world. So there will always be people who disappointed. That's one of the first things that I learned from Paul right here. Now, the second thing that I learned is that one person cannot meet all your needs. Look what he says in the next line. Verse 11. Luke alone is with me. Luke alone is with me. Some people might disappoint you and desert you, but there's some that are going to stick with you closer than a brother. Luke, it was that for Paul. By the way, Luke is the one who wrote the Gospel of Luke and also the book of Acts. And you notice when you pass chapter, Acts has 28 chapters. By the time you leave chapter 12, it's all about Paul. Luke is writing about Paul. Why did he do that? Because he wanted people to understand the man's life. And Luke became a companion of Paul. And it's interesting that even in his last moment of his life, Luke was still with him. And look what he says to Timothy. Do your best to come to me. Demas deserted me. Only Luke is with me. And to me, it saddens me because this man has so many companions and friends, and he planted so many churches. And now when he needs those people the most, some of them are not even to be found. But Luke was a faithful companion of Paul. I mean, Luke saw amazing things because he was with Paul when he got beat up in a town called Lystra. Luke was traveling with Paul when they got shipwrecked. He was in that ship. And look, now that the Apostle Paul is in prison, he said, Luke, only Luke is with me. But again, you see, even though Luke is a faithful companion, no one person can meet all your needs. You see, that's why he's calling Timothy, and do your best to come to me. Yes, Luke might meet some needs, but not all of them. So you and I need to understand that. So sometimes when we, you know, I hear couples sometimes when they're dating and they say, oh, he or she is my world. Be careful in saying that, because when he or she does something to you, that means your world will be turned upside down. You're placing too much thing on that particular individual. And you wonder why people commit suicide sometimes, because they think they were my world. Like now, I don't have a reason. I see a lady posting on Facebook and it saddens me because, like, her boyfriend passed away, and she's saying, like, you know, no reason, she doesn't have a reason to live anymore. It's almost like he was everything. No one person can meet all your needs except Jesus. So you and I need to understand that as we navigate, as we have people in our lives. Yes, we love the companionship, but we need to understand too, you know, just like the first point, that some people will disappoint you, some will stick with you. But no one person will meet all your needs. I mean, look, we all have Lukes in our own life. I know Kenny and Cindy, they have a grandson now named Luke. That's a great name. So they do have literally one Luke. We have Lukes in our lives, you know, that will stick with you through thick and thin. And so Paul says to Timothy, come to me. You see, he needed something else that Luke wasn't able to provide, even though he was a faithful companion to Paul. So yes, no one person can meet all your needs. And another thing you learn from Paul is that some difficult relationships might be mended. Look at verse 11, when he talks about, only Luke is with me. He mentions somebody else. He said, Luke alone is with me. Get Mark. Bring Mark with you when you come, for he's very useful to me for ministry. Mark. Hey, it's interesting. That portion of the Bible we have, Luke, Mark. Mark is the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark. His name literally was John, but the apostle called him Mark. His mom lived in Jerusalem. His mom's name, by the way, was Mary. And when the church started, they were a big part of that. And Mark accompanied Paul and Barnabas doing his first missionary journey in 48 to 68. That's already 20 years right there. So in 48 AD, when Paul and Barnabas going, you know, from Antioch, modern-day Turkey, they're going and start going town to town preaching the gospel, Mark went with Paul. But then something happened. People say that perhaps Mark became homesick or whatever, but he did not continue with Paul. And you can see Paul really got hurt by that, because, you know, it was three companions, Paul, Mark, and Barnabas. And Mark decided to go back to Jerusalem. He did not continue. That's when they were in a town called Pamphylia. And Mark deserted Paul. And when you read chapter 15, Mark was the reason that Paul and Barnabas split up. Can you imagine? I mean, we have this mission work, and because of Mark, because Paul told Barnabas one time, hey, let's go back and revisit the towns that we visited, so to see how the church is doing. And Barnabas said, let's take Mark. Paul said, no, he shouldn't go because he was unreliable when we went to Pamphylia. Barnabas and Paul were relatives. Barnabas and Mark were relatives. So Paul says, if Mark is going, I'm not going. No, we're going to take Mark. He's unreliable. And it says, the Bible says that there was such a disagreement between Barnabas and Paul over Mark that they decided to go the separate ways. Paul took Silas, and Mark and Barnabas went to Cyprus, an island in the Mediterranean. But you see, now you hear about Mark in 68. 20-some years later, Paul says, bring Mark. Which shows you that apparently whatever disagreement they have, whatever feelings got hurt, Paul was able to forgive him. And now he said to Timothy, bring Mark with you. He's useful to me in ministry. You and I need to understand this. Mark wasn't always useful to Paul in his ministry. At one time, abandoned him, deserted Paul to the point that he was so hurt that he says, I don't want to go with him on this trip because he's unreliable. 20-some years later. You know, I mean, by 61, Mark was apparently proving himself to Paul, because in 61, when he writes to Philemon, he says, Mark sends greeting. So something must have happened during those years that their relationship got mended, got healed. That's one thing you and I need to understand. We might have gone through hard relationships with some people, but all relationships in God's kingdom, they have the potential to get healed and mended. We don't know how long. You see, this one, Paul and Mark, took a while. Like I said, he was the reason that Barnabas and Saul and Paul separated from each other. So some difficult relationships can be mended. They can be healed. Now Paul is sending to Ephesus, writing to Timothy in Ephesus, said, bring Mark with you. And look at listen to the words. He's useful to me for my ministry. Now let's continue reading verse 12 through following. You hear about Tychicus, other names. And you see, Paul is just highlighting where some of these people were ministering at. He said, Tychicus, I have sent to Ephesus. So Tychicus was still working with Paul. He's sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas. Also the books, and above all, the parchments. And then he talks about somebody else named Alexander, the coppersmith. He said, did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. And then he said, be aware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. Now, another lesson that I learned from Paul is that you will always have people that oppose you. You will always have people that will work against you everywhere. I mean, it doesn't matter how nice you are, that's always going to happen. And it's interesting, we're going through the book of Acts right now. And we're in chapter 22, 23, Paul is being tried by the Jews. And when you look at his journey, I know exactly when he said Alexander, because I know what happened. That's when he went to Ephesus, the coppersmith. And so look, he's writing to Timothy now in 68 AD, saying, be careful, Alexander, he really opposed our message. And he did a great deal of harm to me. And then he said, may the Lord repay him. Because yeah, it's like, you know, may the Lord deal with him according to the Lord's. Because God also says, vengeance is mine. But all that Paul is doing is, I'm in prison now. Alexander is in the same town where Timothy is preaching. Be aware of him yourself. I dealt with him. Because Alexander is always going to come and oppose your message. And oppose whatever it is that you are about. So you will always have people who oppose you. Alexander did that to Paul. We don't know the details what it was, but I can tell you, looking at the book of Acts, Paul ended up being beat up and imprisoned because of this man, Alexander. Because he was preaching in Ephesus, and Ephesus, it wasn't the city of the goddess Diana of the Ephesians. And Alexander was a coppersmith. He would make shrine of the goddess. So Paul comes to town to preach against idolatry. So Alexander was losing money. So he just plotted against Paul, and Paul got in trouble. Because he's preaching Christ, that you don't need idols. So he said, Alexander the coppersmith did me a great deal of harm. May the Lord deal with him according to his deeds. And then verse 15, he tells Timothy, be aware of him yourself, because he strongly opposed our message. Now Paul is the one, in 2 Timothy 3:12, he talks about that Indeed, all who desire to live godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So as long as you want to, you want to do your best to do the things, to walk according to God's will. You want to do the best to live godly life. You will be persecuted. You will be opposed. And you and I have to understand that it's gonna happen. So yes, people might desert you. Yes, now. No one person can just meet all my needs. Yes, you have Luke's in your midst, but you might also have Alexander's that will oppose your message. All, Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:12, indeed, all who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So they will always, you and I will always have people that will oppose you. And if we just listen too much to them, we get depressed all the time. Like we will not continue running our race because you will always have opposition. Jesus even said it. He said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. And then one time he said, blessed are you when people persecute you, insult you, and say all kinds of things, evil things against you for my sake. Rejoice, because great is your reward in heaven, Jesus said. Yes, you will always have people that persecute you. And so I think it goes back into what Paul talks about, that sometimes you must learn to stand alone. There are times when you must stand alone. Paul, look at what he says in verse 15. Verse 16, at my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. You know, when I read that now, he's in Jerusalem, and in Jerusalem, we have all the apostles. Liz was there on Friday, and Fran, we were talking about some of that in Jerusalem, you wonder, James, the half-brother of Jesus, was a leader in the Jerusalem church, and it appears when Paul is being tried in Jerusalem, you know, you have the opposition, the Romans, and Paul. And you wonder, where's the church? And so when you hear these words now from Paul, I think he's taking us back to that incident when the first defense that he had to come in front of the crowd and speak Aramaic, Hebrew to them and say, I'm Paul, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, and I used to persecute this way. And he has to tell the testimony. So he's saying right now, at his first defense, no one stood by him. It's almost like he felt alone. Can you imagine? You go through a trial. You got the enemy, you got the opposition with their lawyer, and you are all by yourself. Paul endured that, and he's writing to Timothy right now to encourage him because he said, "Hey, yes, that's part of my legacy. That is part of my life." He says, "My first defense." Notice he said first because there were like a couple more after that. He had to come and defend himself before people. You read chapter 24, he had to defend himself, and the Jews hired a lawyer, I think his name was Tertullius, to come and just, you know, trash Paul. And he's by himself in Caesarea, just to defend himself. And the Romans are just, the guy used the Romans to protect the Apostle Paul. There were instances that the Jewish people wanted to kill him, and had not been for the Romans, the Apostle Paul would have been dead. And we're examining that through our study. But it's interesting, he said, at my first defense, no one came to me, but all deserted me, may not be charged against them. Like I said, sometimes you and I need to learn to stand alone. You know, yeah, because, you know, if he depended on the church in Jerusalem, they weren't nowhere to be found when he needed them the most too. That happens sometimes. And it happened to him. You probably can tell a story of your own life when you felt nobody was there for you. That was part of his legacy. When we look at his life, we wonder how he could continue to, you know, how could the Apostle Paul continue with such a determination even though he went through all that? There was something special about him. His determination, his perseverance. That's why to me he's a great champion of the Christian faith. And that's why the sermon was like looking at him like as a role model. It's like, wow, somebody who endures so much. And guess what? We're like the Timothy that he's writing to. So that we'll be aware of those things, because they can happen to us any time. And sometimes when they happen, they can break you to your core if you don't have the determination. And look at this man riding from prison. He's aging. He doesn't even see very well anymore. And you don't even hear him complaining about, you know, yes, he's telling the story, but you don't hear like, oh yeah, I'm dead. Look at what he says next. In the next line, 17. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. Yes, you know, at my first defense, I was left alone. Nobody stood by me, but the Lord stood with me. That's one thing, that's one constant thing that you and I will have to understand, that God will always stand by you. Even when you might feel lonely, nobody's there, so when you feel betrayed, God will continue to go with you. And Paul admitted that, and that's so true, because it takes me back to chapter 22 of Acts. At one time, he just got beat up, and the Romans had to come and rescue Paul because the Jewish people tried to kill him. And by the way, do you know that they fasted? They made a vow, says that they would not eat or drink until they have killed the Apostle Paul. Can you imagine? That's in chapter 23 of Acts. And so God used the Roman soldiers, because they came and just like, as they take him to the barracks, hide him. And so when they're going the steps, Paul said, let me address the crowd. Let me talk to them. And so he talked to them, but you know, it's like all by himself. And God using the soldiers to protect him. And you know, and later on they plot an ambush, telling, hey, bring Paul over here, then we're gonna hear his case. But there were 40 men hiding, waiting to killed the Apostle Paul, and God destroyed that plot. He used Paul's nephew, heard about it, and said, hey, don't do it. So the Roman soldier got 200 soldiers, the centurion got 200 soldiers and spearmen to protect Paul, to bring him from Jerusalem to Caesarea. I mean, he's going through all that. No wonder he says, the Lord rescued me from the lion's mouth. And literally he did. Because the intention was to kill the apostle. Can you imagine people fasting? Say, I will not eat until I have killed him. And God said, no, you're not going to do it, because he's not testified about me in Rome. We're not even, we're still in the Mediterranean right here, but by Caesarea and Jerusalem. And people already, the animosity that they had. He says, yes, Paul went through that. He said, my first defense, no one stood by me, but the Lord did. And he rescued me. He strengthened me. Can you imagine when you go through all the trials and tribulations, you need the strength of the Lord. And the Bible is so true when it says, the strength of the Lord is my joy. You know, because it's only, sometimes you don't have, in you don't have the strength to stand up. And it's only because God provides that for you. Look at the Apostle Paul. He said, but the Lord, so that's another thing that you learn about, that God will always be with you. Why do we say that? Because he promised. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even when you go through those sleepless, hopeless nights that you think that the whole thing is useless, when you think that there's no more hope or opportunity, God says, yes, I'm still with you right here. Even from that prison cell, Paul, I'm with you. And he acknowledged that, writing to Timothy, yes, that happened to me, but God stood by me. And it was in chapter 22 that Paul, one time in the cell, the Lord Jesus appeared to him and said, Paul, don't be afraid to talk in Jerusalem, to testify about me, because just as you testified in Jerusalem, you're going to do it in Rome. So God, Jesus already said, nothing's going to happen to you here. I'm going to bring you to Rome. And so to strengthen the Apostle Paul, because he's by himself. But even when you are by yourself, when you learn to stand alone by yourself, God is right there. He's going to whisper to you and me, I'm with you always, Jesus said. That's one of the constant things that you see, God's presence, God's faithfulness towards you. And you see that in the Apostle Paul. So, yes, there are times when you must stand alone, but you are truly not alone. God is with you, just like he was with the Apostle Paul. In those moments when you feel disheartened, discouraged, alone, we all go through that. That was like, oh man, you know, I see Nehemiah, when he was given the news that the city of Jerusalem was destroyed, he said, the Bible said he just sat down and was just like, what do I do now? You know, and God gave him the word. So imagine the aged Apostle Paul telling to a young preacher, He said, but God stood by me and he rescued me from the lion's mouth. And then look what he says towards the end. Verse 18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Wow, what a way to finish that letter. Like, yes, he will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. I mean, he was a kingdom individual. Kingdom perspective. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Even through all those heartaches and headaches that he suffered during his lifetime. God will always be with us. No matter what we go through in this life. No matter how painful it might be, how disappointing it might be, God is always there. Even when at times you might not think he's there, he is. Because that's what he promised. Even Jesus said, and I'm with you always until the very end of the age. I hope that you can see the determination of the Apostle Paul, regardless of what he had to endure. To me, like I said, he was a true champion of the faith. To me, Paul is a great example of what it means to run with determination, to run with perseverance, regardless of what happens to you in your life. Some of the things that happened to him, you perhaps can relate. You have experienced it. Perhaps betrayal from friends or things like that, loneliness at one time. But you also have the joys that he experienced where other people came alongside of him. You know, those ones that he mentioned, like Tychicus, that they're still doing the work of God and they're still partners with Paul, with him, no matter what happens. Like Luke. See, Paul experienced, like us, he experienced disappointments, loneliness, betrayal from friends. He experienced opposition and hardships. But you and I need to understand one thing that was constant in his life is also constant in yours. God's faithfulness was evident all throughout the lifetime of Paul, and God's faithfulness is still evident in your life. His presence was with Paul, and his presence will continue to go on with us. And I think that is a way that you and I can rejoice, knowing that we have that in our favor, that he's faithful even when I'm going through the trials. Remember when I talked about last week, the purpose of the trials is so that your faith be developed. Paul can write so many things about developing his own faith. When he writes to the Corinthians, he talks about, you know, sleepless nights, hard pressed but not destroyed. You know, it's almost like every move he made, it was a constant death threat to his life. But God was still with him. God's presence and faithfulness will accompany you and I every step of the way, even taking us to his heavenly kingdom, just like Paul says. The Lord will deliver me from every evil deed and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And then later on he says, greet so-and-so, greet Priscilla and Aquila, greeting all the people. And that was the last letter of the Apostle Paul. It's called 2 Timothy 4. That was literally his last final words to Timothy. And now we get to read about that. You see, when I study his life, when I look at his life, and like I said, we're having so much fun with Acts. As we see, we're going to be dealing with the trials, like all the things that when he has to be standing before the governors and kings and even the emperor, how he conducted himself, how he presented Jesus even to those people. And so Luke is the one writing, and so we like I said, we're having so much fun through the book of Acts. But when I examine the life of Paul, when I look all the things that he went through, the 6 points that we highlighted today, now it makes more sense to me. It makes more sense why he said, when he wrote Philippians also from prison, I can do all things through Christ. Now I can understand why he would say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. He was able to endure all that we talked about. Because, you know, he operated by the strength of Jesus. You and I, if you're going through all those things that the Apostle Paul went through, you might not be able to withstand it. Because you are operating on your own strength. You cannot forgive people. You just depend on your own strength. You cannot tolerate certain things. You only operate by your own strength and worldview. But when Jesus is what Jesus is the reason that controls everything about you. Like he said, to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now I understand so much more about the Apostle Paul. Now I understand his determination. He was sold out for the sake of Jesus. And you and I will be able to endure the things that he enduring even more when Jesus is still at the center. Because you and I can say, we'll be able to say the same things. I can do all things. I mean, all things mean all things through Christ who gives us strength. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the life of the Apostle Paul. Lord,